is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
How many know that God is my everything? God is my everything. God is my everything. He's my joy in sorrow. Oh, He's my hope for tomorrow. Oh, He's my rock in a weary land. Shelter in a time of storm. Oh, God is. Oh, my everything. God is my everything. God is my everything. He's my joy in sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. Oh, He's my rock in a weary land. Shelter in a time of storm. God is. Oh, my everything. Come on, y'all ready to give God some praise? Y'all ready to praise Him? Whoa, my everything. He's my rock, my everything. He's my joy, my everything. He's my hope, my everything. Come on, just praise Him right here. Come on, just clap your hands. Let's start it again. My everything. He's my joy, my everything. He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my bridge over troubled water. He's my bright morning star. He's my lily of the valley. My everything. He's my light in my darkness. He's my water when I'm thirsty. He's my food. God is. every thing. Yes, sir, he's my everything. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but he's my everything. I don't know about you, but he's my all in all. He's my everything. Yes, he is. I don't want to get carried away. I'm sorry, Sister Lavallee. I'm just kind of in it right now. This will be the last song right here. This song right here is just something just kind of, if anybody ever been in something and you know it, that the power of the name of Jesus is just something special about it. Yeah. There's something special about the name of Jesus. Shoo-be-doo-doo. Shoo-doo. Shoo-doo.
Hallelujah, glory. Hallelujah.
Shoo-doo.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Shoo-be-doo-doo.
Hallelujah, glory, God.
Shoo-doo. Something about the name of Jesus.
Not our will, but let your will be done.
Yes, it is.
I want to thank you for this day.
Some people say I'm crazy, but it's something that I can't explain. No.
Thank you, Lord.
The power that I feel. When I call on your name, said it's just like fire, straight up in my bone. I can feel the Holy Ghost moving, and it just won't leave me alone. No.
Thank you, Lord.
It's something about the name Jesus.
Father, we bless you this morning.
It's something about the name Jesus.
We praise you for who you are, God.
It is the sweetest name.
Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your
name. Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
We thank you for your tender mercy.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
And your loving kindness.
It is the sweetest name.
We thank you, Lord God, everything that you've done through your son, Jesus Christ.
Some people say I'm crazy, but it's something I can't explain. No. The power that I feel.
Thank you for the power that he has to deliver us,
your name.
Thank you, Lord God, for the power that he has to keep us, oh God. We know, God, that it's nobody but you, Lord God, that have brought us thus far.
I can feel the Holy Ghost moving.
And it's nobody but you, Lord, that will lead us all the way to glory.
No, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God.
It's something about the name Jesus.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God.
It's something about the name Jesus.
Our comforter, our teacher, our God.
It is the sweet.
We pray not our will, but let your will be done, Lord.
I know.
Oh, we bless you, God.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
We pray your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is already done in heaven.
It is the sweetest.
We thank you, Lord God, for our daily bread, God.
I know.
The food that you put on our table.
Whoa, on our
we bless you.
Oh, oh,
we don't take it for granted, God, that we are making it on our own.
Is the sweet.
But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for the bread of life, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the living water, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shelter in the time of storm, Jesus.
It is the sweetest.
We ask that you would have your way here today. Bless these your people who have come out, Lord, to hear from you. Speak to us and through us, God. Use this body, God. Use this tongue, God. You said that we stand, you would speak. And we are here, Lord, to give you the glory, to give you the honor, Lord. We are here, God, that you might be glorified in all things, God, and that your people be edified, and somebody, Lord, who may not know you in the pardons of their sin would be saved. Oh, Lord, we need you. And we know that without you, we can do nothing. We ask your blessing upon Pastor Dunkley. We pray, God, that you will continue to bless and keep him and his family. Bless Mount Olive, God. Hold us together, God. Let love be the bond, Lord. They hold us together, Lord. Let love triumph over everything, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, you say love, God, will hide a multitude of faults. It will cover some things, petty things, God. And, Lord, you said love is the foundation. From Genesis to Revelations, God, it talks about your great love and how you want your people to be loving and kind towards one another. We thank you, Father, not only for Jesus the Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, but we thank you for your word, God. And we thank you that it is already blessed. Now, Lord, speak to us and through us. And, Father, we'll be careful always to give you the glory and give you the honor. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And we say thank God. Oh, there is something about the name of Jesus. I don't care what nobody say, there is power in that name. Healing is in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, power, love in that name. Yes, we just have to seek him. Call upon him. Trust him. Hallelujah. Yes, to God be the glory for this great day that he has allowed us all to come together. To Pastor Dunkley, thank you for this opportunity. To Sister Dunkley, to my husband, Brother Lavallee, and to all of the officers and members here at Mount Olive, and certainly to my good friend I see here in the audience, Sister Deborah and her sister. Yes, I'm in good company. When I'm in her presence, I'm in good company. She has been a great friend to me, and I trust that I have been a great friend to you. Yeah, I'm delighted to have you here today. The word of the Lord, and I want to say thank God for this brotherhood. You know, you see two or three of them up there, but they do the best. They give their all to God. And the Bible say wherever two or three were gathered in his name, the Lord, he promised that he would be a God in our midst. And so I encourage these brothers to keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus. Let the word of God will come from Luke. The 11th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 14 through verse 23. Luke, the writer of the book, this book, and also the writer of Acts, close companion to Paul. Luke was a Gentile writer. He was also a physician. Luke did not have an eye account of Jesus, but he investigated because of his role as a physician. He was strategic in his investigation. The Bible say he writes to give us a detailed account of the ministry of Jesus, the things that he did, the things that he said and taught until the day that he was taken up. Luke 11 chapter verse 14, and it reads, have we found it? If you found Luke, let's read. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub,
the ruler of the demons. And others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house shall fall. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, throw it back at him, Jesus. By whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, with the power of God, surely the kingdom of God has come unto you. And when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man, then he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Verse 23, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God, it shall stand forever. If I would title this message, I would say that there is no neutral ground. There is no neutral ground. Verse 23, Jesus says, who he that is not with me is against me. And he that does not gather with me scatters. So what Jesus is saying to us, there is no neutral ground. There's no middle ground. You either with Jesus or you're not. That word neutral, that's what it means. It means that you're not supporting either side. You're not on God's side. You're somewhere in the middle. You don't know which side, whose side you're on. Yeah. When we're in a conflict or a war, you'd have heard that phrase, well, I'm just not in this. Yeah, I'm not in this. Yeah. You're impartial to what's going on. But Jesus is saying, in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to choose. There is no neutral ground. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either light or darkness. There is no middle ground. You know, neutral, when we think about neutral colors, we think about black, white, beige, brown. Those are neutral colors. And usually people choose those colors because you can wear them with practically anything. And that's how some Christians are. We go along with anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're neutral. We go along with anything. Whoever looked like they got the upper hand, that's where we are. But God is saying, no, you can't be neutral in this equation here. You have to choose. Yeah. He says you have to choose. And so here in this passage of scripture, we find that Jesus is in a conflict with religious leaders. And in Wednesday night Bible study, we are talking about religion to relationship. And you'll see in this lesson here that the difference between those that are religious and those that are seeking a relationship with God. Look what he says. Jesus is doing a good deed. He's casting out a demon. And the Bible says this demon was a mute. In other words, he had the man tongue-tied. He was controlling his tongue from the normal movement. And Jesus came and was casting out the demon. And so it was, the Bible says, that when that demon, the evidence of the power of God, says when the demon came out, the man began to speak. Now when you read Matthew's gospel in the 12th chapter, Matthew says he was blind and mute. So he was able to see and talk. But Jesus said, when he cast him out, The mute man was able to speak, giving evidence to the power of God. And the multitude were amazed at what Jesus had done in this man's life. I mean, they had probably never seen that before. And they marveled. The Bible says they were amazed. But some of them, and my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that anytime you go out to do service for God, anytime you go out to minister, to serve, you're going to have some of them. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody is not going to follow you. Everybody is not going to be on your side. Everybody is not going to receive the word. You're going to have some of them. Jesus had some of them. But we can't quit. We can't give up. We got to keep pressing our way. Because just like some of them did not believe, some of them will believe. Because Jesus said himself, God said, that his word shall not return void. Wherefore, if he sent it out, it is not going to come back void. But he said it's going to accomplish the purpose wherewith he sent it out to. So he says, some of them, yeah, some of them said, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So here now, they are accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil. Jesus and Satan is working together to cast out Satan. That's what religion talks about. See, that's religion. They're not trying to find out the truth. And their logic makes no sense, mother. Now, Satan came to destroy. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh but what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't come to cast himself out. Jesus came to cast him out. Because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly to the full, to the max. So they're saying that Jesus and Satan are on the same team. Yeah. He's casting out demons by Beelzebub. And a demon is just a fallen angel, somebody that have made up in their mind that they are following the lead of Satan to do his bidding. They have aligned themselves with the devil, mother, and they have come to wreak havoc in the life of the believer and in the world. That's what a demon is. Satan is his master or their master. And they control, when a demon possesses you, he's in control of you. He possesses and he controls. But if Christ is dwelling in you, if Christ is dwelling in the house, if the Holy Spirit is in the house, hallelujah, the Bible says he that is in us, the Holy Spirit is greater than anything in the world. So Jesus, they say that was some of them who did not want to receive Christ, even though they had saw the work that he was doing was a good work. He didn't look the part of the Messiah. Yeah. He wasn't what they expected of him. So they accuse him of being on the team with Satan. And others were trying to test him. They sought him for a sign. Now they're looking at a miracle. But yet they're still seeking for a sign. That's religion. They're looking at a miracle. But yet they still want a sign from God, from heaven. But the Bible says that Jesus knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking even before we think it. He knows what's going through our minds. Yeah, yeah. You may not know what's going through my mind, but Jesus knows what's going through my mind, and he knows what's going through your mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows whether it's good or whether it's evil. He already knows. So Jesus says to them, he gives them an illustration here. He says, now listen, let me try to help you a little bit. And can I help you, Mount Olive, a little bit? The Bible says here that every kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Every kingdom, you think about that. Think about that. A kingdom, and the king and the people are divided. Sooner or later, that kingdom gonna be overthrown. We can see in our government. Let's look at what's going on in the government. Got the president divided against the House, the Republicans. And he's supposed to be the head of the party. But none of them can get along with one another. None of them can make any positive decisions, mother, because the House is divided. And it's an evil House that's divided. Think about it. You got a football team, the Saints. They're going to be playing today against the Panthers. Now, I'm on the Saints team, my team, but I take all of our strategies and I go take it to the camp of the Panthers. So I'm divided. I'm working against what I'm supposed to be standing for. And sometimes in the midst of us, you have people that are working against and still are working toward the kingdom of God. Still are working in fellowship with one another. Yeah. We're working against one another. Yeah. Divided. And the Bible says that that kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction. It will fall. And I'm not saying this. The Bible is saying this. Mount Olive, the Bible is telling us if we divide against one another, we can't stand. The church gonna stand. But those that are in the body. Because Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. So the church belongs to God. Yeah. And he said, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So when one won't do, guess what? Jesus got another ram in the bush. He got another ram in the bush. Because his kingdom is going to go on. His church is going on. And then he goes on, he says, a house divided against a house will fall. And we see that in our society today, where the house, the husband contending with the wife, the wife contending with the husband, the children contending with both of them. The house is divided. And so the divorce rate is high, even among Christians. A divided house cannot stand.